Welcome to Stage Talk, a weekly conversation about the performing arts. I'm Steve Hunt, your host. Today we have two people on the show from Synesthesia Artists Collective's latest production called Flowers for Algernon, written by David Rogers, based on the book by Daniel Keyes. And our two guests today are Jaron Carlson, who plays the lead part of Charlie in the play. Jaron, people may remember you from your roles in Red and also in 4,000 Miles and all the great books and a number of other shows being performed or having been performed here in Anchorage. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
We also have Teresa Pond on, who is the director of the show. And Teresa is a well-known director around town, having directed such shows as Carolina Change and the 25th Annual Putnam County Spelling Bee. And also Pinkalicious, which is still playing in New York. She directed that in New York, and she also directed it here. So welcome to the show, Teresa.
Thank you, Steve. Glad to be here.
Well, this show, Flowers for Algernon, some of our audience members may also remember from the film called Charlie. And We were just talking about how Cliff Robertson won the Academy Award from that.
He did. He won the Oscar that year.
It's an incredible story. Teresa, why don't you just give us a bit of the background of this story, and we'll get into the meat of the play.
Sure. Well, the book was originally written in the mid-50s, and then the play came along right at the beginning of the 60s. And we have a time when science was very exciting, and we all wanted to believe that we could change the world and change ourselves. And so this takes that premise, and we take a mentally challenged man who has a very low IQ, give him an operation and hormone injections to make him smarter, and then watch as the journey takes off from there, how his life changes, how he changes, and what happens to him when science intercedes with his life.
I can't help but think of Clockwork Orange when you're talking about that.
You know, how I know. I admit to a little cynical bent there, I suppose. But it's a very hopeful story. But it's also very fascinating. What if we could change ourselves? Would we? Should we?
Exactly. And Jaron, you play the young man who has been changed. So tell us a bit about that part.
Well, Charlie Gordon, he is faced with a dream. You know, he wants to become normal because, you know, everyone he knows is normal, of course. And he, in order to get normal, he wants to become smart because he believes, you know, the people around him are smart. And that's what makes him normal. And he's a very innocent person at heart. You know, everything is fresh. Everything is new, which makes the acting challenge kind of interesting because acting should always be fresh for the stage. So, but he always approaches, even when he becomes smart, everything is still new because all these memories are coming back at him. He has 32 years of life being thrown back into him. And that's what makes it really interesting for him. And the challenge is to catch up with life as it, what he's missed out on for 32 years because he had such a 6-year-old mind mentality. So
interesting you use the word normal. He wants to become normal. We're just talking about changing someone's life to be something different.
Yeah.
And you're saying normal is being smart. But that's a question, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's Charlie's perception.
That's his perception of being normal is to be smart.
Yeah.
And he becomes actually super smart, doesn't he? He doesn't just become normal smart like all three of us.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah, he kind of moves on from there. He gets he goes past a lot of the people that he aspired to be like, intellectually at least.
Mm-hmm. Are there similarities between being mentally challenged, for lack of a better word, and mentally, or the term sometimes people use is severely gifted, in that you're smarter than regular people, than normal people, if you will. Are there similarities in your portrayal of the part between those two extremes from what we would call normal?
I would say they're a very similar approach. Just going back to what I was saying before, that it's still new to him. So he just has to adjust to the circumstances that are thrown his way. You know, he's faced with different challenges when he's younger, you know, what his parents think of him and what when they're arguing about certain things. And what does that mean? He's still processing all these things. But then when he becomes super intelligent, he's learning how to love. And it's being revealed to him that his people around him treated him differently. And so he has to adjust and understand what that means to him. So it's a little slightly different approach, but really it's all just new information and trying to fit in.
I think that's probably one of the things that's most poignant is Charlie just wants to fit in and be part of the world that he's felt outside of. You know, we find out we have a series of family memory flashbacks through the show. It's really a memory play, as sometimes it's called, where we're kind of visiting his life through looking back at different episodes of it while looking at how he moves through this current journey of the intelligence and all. But his family kind of abandons him when he's younger. So he's going back to try to become someone that they would love. But becoming super smart puts him on the outside the same as he was before. He was very alone. And so he doesn't want to be alone. Like none of us want to be alone. And so interestingly, I think that loneliness theme has as much to do with his journey in the show as whether or not he's very intelligent or not as intelligent or where he's at. You know, that's part of the desire to be part of, you know, to be part of a group.
For those of you who are just tuning in, this is Stage Talk, and we're talking about Flowers for Algernon, the latest offering from Synesthesia Artist Collective. And our two guests are Teresa Pond, the director, and Jaron Carlson, who is playing the part of Charlie. Teresa, you mentioned the loneliness, and Jaron also. And the name of the book and the play is Flowers for Algernon. Algernon.
Yes.
Talk about Algernon for a moment, because I think that's one of the most interesting parts of this story. For me, anyway. Go ahead.
Absolutely. And not a lot of people know who Algernon is. Algernon is a mouse. The experiment that they do on Charlie, the scientists, to make him smarter, the operation and the hormone injections that they give him, they originally practiced on mice in a laboratory. One mouse in particular responded really well, and that mouse was named Algernon. So Algernon goes through this journey. He becomes very, very smart for a mouse. And as Charlie becomes smarter, he becomes very attached to Algernon because they're both going through the same journey. So as they continue on their journey and we see what happens to them, how does this intelligence stabilize or not stabilize? How do they move forward once they become very smart, or do they move forward? Algernon becomes intensely important to Charlie, not just as a friend, he really becomes a friend, but because they're going through the same journey. So Charlie honors Algernon with flowers at some point in the show for very good reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Not to give it all away. But yeah, Algernon is the mouse. It's such an interesting name. I'd never heard the name Algernon before knowing this book and this play.
One question I wanted to ask you about in terms of performing this show, the challenge of, as an actor, Jaron, of playing someone who was mentally challenged, also someone who was very gifted. What sort of research have you gone into to making sure that this is an authentic performance? You mentioned a moment ago that every actor, of course, has to make sure that it's fresh and new, and I'm sure you've worked on that.
Yeah.
You've seen your work on stage before. A question for Teresa and you. What have you done to make sure that this is really an authentic portrayal of this character?
Well, for me, it wasn't so much researching any other mentally challenged people that actually exist, but I focused on the innocence and that way I think you can stay pretty neutral and not offend anyone or anything like that. It's just focus on the intention behind what Charlie wants out of life, which is to be normal, and that is the driving force rather than the physicality or what he might sound like. I've sort of took from an older role that I did at UAA, The Language of Trees, where I played like a six-year-old boy. And it's that same mentality, except he has a harder time focusing on certain things and understanding, comprehending the information thrown his way. So I just kind of played around with that as the innocence being the driving force.
Teresa, any more comments about that from you?
Well, yeah, Jaron and I started out like, how do we make this guy with a 68 IQ? And realized it really was about an innocent understanding of the world. I think if you play from the inside of how somebody's feeling and thinking, you're going to have a much more grounded performance. I think sometimes we get in trouble when we play people with certain challenges or handicaps on stage by looking at the outside. I don't think you get the richness of where they're coming from. And it gets real. That's, I think, where you get into a danger of perhaps looking like you might be mocking someone or not honoring their situation. But I think if you go from the inside out, which is what we did, we said, okay, however old he is physically, he's 32 in the character, we think he's about 6 mm-hmm. as far as his IQ, meaning as far as his understanding of the world, because at 6 years old, we don't understand the world the same way we do when we're older. We don't understand sarcasm and irony. We don't understand the double meaning in language as people talk to us and joke with us. These things come along a little bit later on that we start to get an understanding of that. And that's really one of the key points, is he has an innocent understanding of the world. It doesn't make him a perfect person, but it makes him someone that believes the best in everyone, because when we're around, you know, 5 or 6 years old, that's what we think. So that's where we started for, I think, very good reason. And I think for that case, I hope that we are honoring people with mental challenges that come into the world without all the skills or the tools that we may have.
I think when you use innocence as the driving force, it does create a physical outward kind of appearance with Charlie. Like when he gets nervous, he plays with his buttons on his shirt and he picks at fingernails. And I think it's pretty much a universal physical response to, especially a six-year-old mentality.
Yeah, and then his growth and where he goes to get very, very smart shows us the rise and fall of when you lose that innocence.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating discussion about this show, Flowers for Algernon, running right now over at the E.R. Brown Auditorium in Grant Hall on the campus of Alaska Pacific University, running through February the 15th. Got 2 more weekends to see this show. Thanks a lot, Teresa and Jaron, for being on the show, talking about this fascinating subject, and have a continued good run.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
We really appreciate it.
For more information about this show or other shows playing in the area, visit our website at alaskapublic.org and go to Stage Talk for our Stage Talk calendar. Until next time, I'm Steve Hunt for KSKA.
Stage Talk is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants, do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. Learn more about Stage Talk and listen online at alaskapublic.org. Life informed. This is Alaska Public Media.